creation or how life originated. And I will tell you, I have much more confidence in Jesus being the creator than I do of things accidentally occurring. Because let me tell you what had to have happened. You see, it didn't just have to have one person that developed at a certain stage. It also had to be there had to be at the exact same time, in the exact same geographic region, there had to be a complementary creation as well. In other words, it wasn't just that a male had to have come on the scene. There also had to be a female that came onto the scene. And so now you have just taken the astronomical odds that society has not been able to duplicate even on some of the most simplest and basic elements. You had to have that happen not once, but you had to have it happen twice simultaneously in the same geographic location. Once you have that creation at the same time in the same geographic location, you have to have everything that they would need to sustain life come into existence at the same time in the same location. And now you have just made the odds of that go exceedingly, exceptionally off the charts high. I don't have that type of faith. I do have enough faith to recognize spiritual truth that God created. Now, here's what I can tell you. Very rarely do you ever find anything that comes out of an explosion that comes out beautiful. It just doesn't happen. You find things begin to deteriorate. And so we've been asked to believe that mankind is traditionally evolving and becoming better, but scientifically, things begin to deteriorate. They don't generally improve on their own. So, if it's okay with you, and if it's not okay with you, I'm going to continue to stick to spiritual truth. So, there's the spiritual truth of the source of life. There's the spiritual truth of creation. And in verse number 15 says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So anywhere light goes, darkness is negatively impacted. So when Jesus, the light of the world, says that we are also the light of the world, wherever God sends us, darkness ought to feel threatened. Darkness ought to realize that we've not come to improve darkness. We have come to bring light the same way that that the moon reflects the light of the sun. So, here about a month or so ago, I was up early one morning. I was on my way to church, and I looked, and it's like, the moon's not exactly where I would expect it to be at 6 o'clock in the morning, but it was shining brightly. You know why? Because the sun was not. And the sun was on its heels. It was coming up, and you know what was going to happen whenever the sun comes up? People weren't going to see as much of the reflection of the light of the sun on the moon, because they were going to be drawn to the light that was there in the sun. So I pray today that the spiritual truth that Jesus, the light of the world, will impact you, so that when you go to your workplace or you go to your home, if there's a person there that is not a believer in Jesus Christ, that you go and say, the light of Jesus is going to shine brightly through me. Okay. So verse number 6, we come here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That all through him might believe. Not just the all of John's day, but the all of our day. The all of every day in between. And so you maybe one of these days I will have time to do a word search on all and every and you know, the things that are the universal truths that God's word declares that it impacts each and every person. But I can tell you this, that Jesus came and John was sent to bear light, or to bear witness of the light, or to bear witness of Jesus, that every person might believe. Now, if you turn back to the Gospel of John, I'm going to try and find this real quickly here. In John chapter 20, verse number 30, you find exactly why the Gospel of John. Now, this was not John the Baptist. The John being referred to in John chapter 1 was John the Baptist. But the disciple John, the author of this book, in John chapter 20, verse number 30, writes this: "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." The Gospel of John was written for this purpose: "that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And so everything about John's ministry was designed so that people would put their faith in Jesus Christ. You and I are to bear witness to that. Here, verse number 9. "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." Okay. So the Assemblies of God believes that there is a basic human right. And that is this, that every person should have the opportunity to hear the truth about who Jesus is, about what Jesus has done, and what that means for them. That they have that opportunity, and that they would respond, not because they've come from a biased perspective where only a partial insight has been given to them, but they have the opportunity to present it with the facts, the spiritual truths, and say, okay, what are you going to do with this? Okay? It's a universal truth. So here's where I put my faith in God's ability to reach mankind. I believe that every person, that God knows exactly how to manifest himself to them so that they have that opportunity to know about Jesus. There are stories that come in from our missionaries of when they're in the field, that people will come up to them and said, "Hey, I had this dream, I had this vision. Can you please explain this to me?" And so there are a lot of people that want to disavow having to put their faith and trust in Jesus or embrace spiritual truth because they create a mysterious, well, what about the person, you know, that's never had that opportunity? Well, I'm going to put my faith in the truth, the spiritual truth that God presents, that Jesus gives light to every man coming into the world. Okay, so the spiritual truth is Jesus is the true light, and he gives light to every man. Let's drop down to verse number 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the truth of the matter is Jesus was in the world, and even though he made the world, it was made through him and it was made for him. The world did not know him. They did not recognize him. They did not acknowledge him. It says he came to his own. And in the footnote at my Bible, it says, that is his own things or his own domain or his own people. He came where he should have been recognized. He should have been accepted. But instead, his own did not receive him. It goes on and it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Here's the thing. You don't have to let other people's rejection of spiritual truth be the same mistake that you make. You have another opportunity. You can choose to receive him. Okay? Now, I can tell you, you know, as we're in our ninth broadcast season, we've completed 8 years. We're here not just to bring spiritual truth, but also to bring spiritual opportunity. We're here to be a blessing. Some of you I may never get to meet in person. Most of you I will never get to meet in person. But through this radio program, I can present to you the spiritual truth of God's Word. And if you will put your faith in Jesus as God's Son, as Jesus as the Creator, as Jesus the light, as Jesus the source of life, as Jesus the forgiver of your sins, the one who gave his life for you. If you will put your faith and trust in him, it says that God will give you the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Again, rejection of spiritual truth does not invalidate the spiritual truth, but if you embrace spiritual truth, there are tremendous benefits that come as a result of it. It says those were born of God. Okay, so, and the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and here is what their testimony was. He was full of grace, and he was full of truth. Full of grace and full of truth. Those are two remarkable characteristics. I would encourage you to embrace people who are full of grace, the favor of God. And I would encourage you to embrace people who are full of truth. So we're gonna pause there for today, and we'll pick that up again on tomorrow's broadcast. But if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. We exist to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to our church. We want to be a blessing to our community. And if we can be a blessing to you, we would love to do that. Hopefully we'll see you soon. If not, we'll see you tomorrow. Right.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
From the Love We're Finding Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers starts a brand new series, Getting a Handle on Your Emotions.
And I'm emotional right now, right? I'm all over the place. I'm up, I'm down, I'm all around. But that's the key, is to try to harness that.
Carrie, many times Adrian Rogers would stop by the studio, and we had the privilege of asking him questions. And regarding the series about getting a handle on your emotions, we asked him the question, what can our listeners learn from this series about our emotions?
They can learn how to use their emotions rather than letting their emotions abuse them. They can learn how to have the joy and the victory, the peace, the satisfaction, the contentment that is our legacy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Carrie, today's message is called God's Answer to Anger, Proverbs chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. We'll be looking at that with Adrian Rogers. You know, it's been said that unjustified anger is like an acid that brings harm to anything that's poured on, including the very container it inhabits. And sometimes that container is our very lives.
That's true. I also think a righteous anger, you know, doing it in the right way for the right reason at the right time, God can honor it.
Well, I think that's so true, Carrie, learning how to use our emotions the right way. And Adrian Rogers said it this way when it comes to learning how to use our emotions the right way.
Someone has wisely said, the only way to be angry and sin not is to be angry only at sin. If seeing little children abused doesn't make you angry, if seeing dope pushers take advantage of innocent youth doesn't make you angry, if racial pride and arrogance or prejudice doesn't make you angry, well, then there's something wrong with you. But that anger needs to be channeled. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be righteous anger. And so this is a very important subject for us.
You know, that's a great word. I think many times we have to remember that, you know, people are looking at us almost as the pace setter. And that depends on our emotions, and that depends on our reaction to the action.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great point Adrian Rogers makes about righteous anger. It is expected. In fact, injustice ought to stir us and move us to act. Well, Carrie, we love hearing from our Love We're Finding listeners, and I think you have a comment that's come in recently.
This says, having been saved for over 70 years, and I've taught Sunday school for over 30 of those years, yet I'm still learning so much from the teaching and preaching of Dr. Rogers. Thank you for sharing these timeless messages. I mean, we love to get this. I mean, this is a affirmation. It's a shot in the arm for what we do.
Well, if you've been listening, you know, just for the first time, or like this listener for 30 years, benefiting from the ministry of Love We're Finding in your Christian walk.
And that's the ripple effect of the ministry. And that's our prayer, that it will continue to saturate.
Well, Carrie, as we wrap up 2021, the year winds down. You know, Love We're Finding really appreciates and values the prayers and the faithfulness of our friends.
We do. And let me say this. This is a critical time of year for us. This is the time of year that our supporters and friends really rise to the occasion. And they just give. I mean, they give of their time. They give of their treasure. They give of their prayers. And we welcome all of that, because that is the livelihood of Love We're Finding. So I just want to encourage our supporters, our listeners, to raise the bar. You know, go one step higher this year. All that money goes right back into the ministry so that we can reach the world for Jesus Christ.
And friend, we do want to challenge our Love We're Finding community to give at this year's end to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ through those timeless messages of Adrian Rogers. You can call with your calendar year-end gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD, or you can give online at lwf.org/radio. Once again, we appreciate so much your support. Well, with today's message called God's Answer to Anger, Part 1, here's Adrian Rogers.
Today we're going to deal with something that I just believe, may be personal and pertinent to you, but I want to check up. So let me ask you a question while you turn to Proverbs chapter 19. How many of you ever get angry, lose your temper, or find it, whichever the case is? We're going to be speaking today on God's answer to anger. God's answer to anger. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That is, a smart fella is not quick to get mad. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. God's answer to anger. Now, somebody said that anger is an acid that destroys its container. Indeed, it does, and it's a corrosive acid that does harm to anything that it is poured on. I'm talking about ungodly anger, unjustified anger. Not all anger is bad, as we're going to see in a moment. As a matter of fact, some anger is good. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in a moment that the Bible, on at least one place, commands us to be angry. So we're going to learn about God's answer to anger, unjustified, ungodly anger. Now, there are four basic thoughts. And the first is this, that sudden anger is to be controlled. That is, if you're a person who prides yourself in having a short fuse, you better be careful. The Bible has a lot to say about you. Now, there's some people, you know, they just say, well, it's my Irish, it just runs in the family, whatever it is. And they're like a loaded shotgun with a hair trigger. And anytime they're jostled, they blast away. Oh, well, they say it only lasts a little while. Well, so did that tornado. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about getting angry in a hurry, about being quick to be angry. Now, our verse, our text says here, the discretion of a man defers his anger. That is, a man who is a wise man does not fly off the handle. Now, let me give you some other scriptures. And by the way, the book of Proverbs has themes that go all the way through it. So you might as well just lick your fingers. We're going to look at a lot of passages in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. Look at it. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Now, friend, in plain, unvarnished language, you are a fool if you're quick to get angry. Now you say, don't call me a fool. I didn't. God did. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Look again, if you will, in chapter 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. If you want to get in trouble, I mean, if you want somebody to rearrange your face, then you be one of these kind of fellows who is quick to anger. And somebody's going to explain some things to you that you don't want to explain one of these days. Now, that's what God is saying right here in Proverbs 15, verse 18. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive. That is, don't jump into an argument quickly. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. That is, you're going to start something you can't finish. And when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, you put your mouth into action before your brain is in gear, and you're going to find out that you're not going to be able to finish what you've started. That's what God's word says. Look, if you will, here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. You don't even come up to being a fool. I mean, you've got to improve to be a fool. Now, when you're quick to get angry, dear friend, there is so much that you're going to lose. You can lose your job. You can lose your friends. You can lose your children. You can lose your wife. You can lose your health. You may lose a few teeth. You can lose your testimony. There's nothing more debilitating your Christian testimony than for the fact that you just fly off the handle. Now, the Bible tells us here that we are to defer anger. That is, sudden anger is to be controlled. Well, how do you control it? Well, first of all, you have to confess it. Now, there are a lot of us who just, we don't like to admit that we get angry. I'm a Christian, and I am not mad. I mean, we were sweet little dear, little us. Now, we couldn't get angry, could we? Of course we can. And so the very first thing we must do is confess it. By the way, if you repress it rather than confess it, it'll do you all kinds of damage. You may say that you're not angry, but your stomach keeps the score. As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised what kind of physiological, psychological, and spiritual problems take place when you have repressed anger, or if, for that matter, even expressed anger that is not handled properly. First of all, your body responds and begins to pump that adrenaline into your bloodstream, and then your blood pressure rises, and then your muscles get tense and ready for fight or flight or both, and your heart beats, your hands become sweaty, your eyes dilate, and one man said, my life is at the mercy of any rascal who can make me angry. My life is at the mercy of any rascal who can make me angry. And every time you get needlessly, unjustifiably angry, you just drive another nail into your coffin. So first thing, when you find these feelings coming, confess them. Confess them. Don't repress them. Confess them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, there's something moving in me I don't like. And tell the Lord about it.